Welcome to YouthRadio.com. I hope you enjoy our interview, and the person that we are going to be interviewing today is Alex Torres, and we hope you have a good time hearing this.
Hello, Mr. Torres. My name is Josiah. I am a member of the Youth Radio Club, and I would like to ask you, what is your favorite place to play music?
Well, first of all, hello, Josiah. Thank you for having me here on YouthRadio. It's awesome to be here. My favorite place, well, there's many, but I will tell you one that was incredible. That was incredible was Montreal, Canada. The Montreal Jazz Festival.
Oh.
It was amazing. 10,000 people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
You played music in front of 10,000 people at a festival.
Yes. It was incredible. The energy, the people screaming and dancing. It was great.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say something. I don't really usually hear 10,000 something people at a festival. Usually there's like 100 or like 50 or something.
I will tell you, for my son's birthday party at my house, I cook for 100 people.
Wow.
That's a typical birthday party at my house.
He must have had like 1,000 friends and like 100
I actually do. 12 band member as well. Throughout the history of the band, which will turn 40 years in October, we've counted about 187 musicians. Over the years, some have passed away, some have moved, some marry and can't play anymore, some find other jobs that don't allow them to schedule, some move to other bands. It's a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Sure. There you go.
How do you know how much people they are? Do they count them?
Yes, they do. Usually, I have to tell you, that's a great question. Sometimes it's by tickets.
Oh.
So, right? If they sold X amount of tickets, they already know. And then they also have somebody at the door with a clicker.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've seen people stand in the doorway, just clicking away. Mm-hmm. That clicker is actually a counter.
Oh.
So they can say, okay, they can match the tickets and then match the click, how many clicks, right?
Yeah.
And it's always better to have a higher amount than a lesser amount because then somebody didn't pay for tickets.
Yeah. How many instruments do you play?
I personally, I play guitar, I play bass, I play congas, I play bongos, I play timbales, I play güiro, maraca, claves, bongos.
You said that.
Did I? So how many do you got there so far?
We got 7.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Do they all, like, have different notes?
Yes. Well, I used to play trumpet. I started playing trumpet in school. So, you know, I dabble in a bunch of stuff, but I do write the songs and compose them. I compose the songs and do some horn parts and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So, when you have played those instruments, have you, like, ever, like, went at a concert and you were just like, oh my god, I have so many instruments, which one do I choose?
Well, in the band itself, I play bass. I play the bass in the band. And the other guys, we have 11 members. So we have 2 trumpets, 2 trombones, saxophone, right? Conga, bongo, timbales, piano, guitar, vocalist, and me, 12.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a big band, right?
That's a crazy amount of people. I would have thought like it was just like 7 instruments, but when you like went to 12, I'm like,
yeah, but I don't play my 7 instruments. Yeah, I just play bass and band. Yes.
I think that learning a lot of instruments throughout your life, I think that it's a good thing to put your mind to learning all those instruments, and like I think that's really cool that you actually went out there and was like, I know exactly what I'm gonna do. I want to play Like that intimate.
Yeah, Josiah, that's I have to tell you, it's interesting that you brought that up. So, do you guys know what a record is?
No. Mm-hmm.
A spinning record, have you seen it?
Yeah. It's those things that spin.
And you put the needle on it,
and
it's
you
a
put
record,
the thing
right?
And it plays the music.
Okay,
oh,
right.
Yeah.
So those records, mm-hmm. okay, that's what we had, the four CDs. Mm-hmm. So when I was like 4 years old, mm-hmm. not to answer what you were saying, young man, I would look inside this record player. It was a box, mm-hmm. right, when I spun the record around. And I was saying, how do they put the instruments inside that circle?
Yeah.
Because I was 4 years old. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is so cool. There's music coming out of a black circle. That was surreal, right? That's like, you look at a CD, right?
Yeah. Play it.
How do you get music? Have you ever said that and say?
I still say that.
How do you put the band in there?
Me too.
So I said, someday I want to be inside a black circle. As gloomy as it sounds, it's pretty cool. So my thing was, I was just fascinated with the black circle. And how, by putting a needle on it, there was sound coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And it was pleasant sound. I loved the sound. I would dance to it. I'd jump up and down. It made me excited. And I just said, now I want to mimic, right? I want to play all those instruments that are coming out of that circle.
That's amazing.
Because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what. All I wanted to do was reproduce that sound. And so I banged on the table. I banged on pots and pans. Mm-hmm. I did it all just trying to find out what was in that black circle. So that was the beginning. Now, do you guys play an instrument?
Yeah, I do.
What do you play?
I play viola.
Nice.
For a duet.
Violin.
Violin?
Violin.
You don't play an instrument?
No.
And you play?
I play a bass.
Oh, nice.
I play two.
Okay. What's the other one?
I play a recorder. And also, I really use my viola mostly for the duet that mm-hmm. me and her are going to do for
that's
a concert
awesome.
At the mall.
Now,
I'm scared.
I know you didn't raise your hand, but can I tell you something?
What?
You guys and everybody you know was born to be a musician. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you don't believe me, huh?
I was
okay.
born to dance.
Everybody was born to be a musician. I'll tell you why. What's one of the first presents they give a baby? Let's think. What?
You give a baby milk?
No.
Yeah, but as a present.
As a present.
A gift.
You give them a rattle.
You give them a rattle. Huh. Oh, you know, Josiah, you are quite the thinker there, because you are actually correct. The first thing you did in a lot of cultures is you give a kid a rattle.
Maraca!
Oh, that's right. These are called maracas. But it is a rattle, right? So think about a little baby.
It's a bigger rattle.
That's correct.
So basically,
when I make a good baby?
They took a rattle and made a bigger one of it and made it a maraca.
Uh-huh.
And I have two in my house and they have that same symbol on it. But
right. So just to show you that we as adults and friends and stuff, they come and they see a baby, you know, we want to give them a rattle because you're giving them the gift of music.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just think it's just a cute thing to give. They don't realize through ages and cultures that it was a huge thing, because the sound it makes alerts the ears and the movement for the kid to develop, the one little boy, little girl. So that's pretty cool. Are we good? Yes.
So, I also want to know how they put the music in the black circle, because the black circle, you're just like, wait a minute. It's not like I just recorded a video and, like, I just smacked it onto a black circle. It's like you have to, like, write everything in a song and then you put it on the black circle, but yet it's not like that. I just want to know how they put
it. Well, I'll tell you how it happens. Okay.
Yeah.
So think about a thick piece of plastic, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's round.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it in a machine called a lathe. L-A-T-H-E, lathe.
A lathe.
And a lathe basically cuts. A lathe is a cutter. So you have lathes that do steel pipes. You know the legs, the wooden legs maybe, mm-hmm. on your dining room set? They're nice little circles
they're
on
circles
it. Right.
Smooth.
Well, they put it on a lathe and it cuts, right? Same thing with that black circle. It played. Now, the musicians have to play the music.
In order to make the music.
Right. And that gets transferred into the machine that makes
the lathe.
And the lathe cuts it. Now, when you see that black circle, that record, mm-hmm. it just looks shiny to you or maybe dull sometimes. But if you were to put that under a microscope and check it out, it's got grooves. And the grooves, they're not straight lines. Although you see it, it looks like straight lines. But inside, these mm-hmm. they're lined up differently. So as the needle rubs in between the grooves, it produces the sound, friction.
That's satisfying.
Okay? Whereas a CD, nothing physically touches the CD. A record, yes. But a CD, no, uses a laser, right?
Ah.
And when that laser is reading, that's called the eye, because it's a little glass. It's a little glass round ball. And what's shooting a light. And what's inside that silver CD, you know what it is?
Music.
Zeros and ones. Zeros and ones. It's binary. So having that, the light reads it. So every zero and every one, depending on the combination, in a flash, it's actually reproducing the sound that's on that CD. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So we went from analog, that's what it's called, to digital format. Analog, it's actually something scraping it. It's a needle rubbing against that plastic in the grooves. It has to fall in those grooves. If those grooves are dirty, which I don't know if it happened to Mr. Rakes' records or mine, the record would skip because the needle wouldn't fit in the groove and it'll jump to, like, it'll go la la la, la, and it'll go to something else because it didn't fit in the groove and it moves on to the next groove, to the next line.
I'll tell you a funny record story. So I was going to kindergarten on the bus, and you were supposed to bring in show and tell. So you bring in something that you love from home, right? Well, no pets, but a thing. And then in kindergarten, you had to, like, put it in a bag and you had to describe it. And so I had my favorite record that I was going to bring in. Here's the problem. On the bus ride, I had a long bus ride, like 40 minutes.
Wow.
And I would always fall asleep because I love sleeping
Someone
in cars.
Take it.
So I was sitting on the bus, and I had it, my record with me for show and tell. And I fell asleep, and when I fell asleep, the record slid out of its little case down onto the floor. And kind of like Alex was saying, it got all scraped up.
Oh.
And after it gets scraped up, it didn't work anymore. Now, if you ask me, Mr. Rakes, what did you have for dinner last Tuesday, I couldn't tell you. But from all the way back when I was, I went to kindergarten at 4 years old, I can still remember the day that my record broke. That's how upset I was over it.
But don't think negative, because if you think negative, then it might happen again. And you
True,
don't want that.
Right. You know what happens to me nowadays, though? I'm always driving. So there's definitely no sleeping when you're driving.
Oh, it's funny, this has been records.
My dad is a truck driver, so basically he drives a truck all night, no eyes.
Can't even sleep, right?
His eyes won't even close. Like,
yeah, my dad too.
He has a special talent for that.
Yeah, sometimes he's been doing it since I was born.
I know we were talking about driving to South Carolina this spring.
Ooh.
And to drive at nighttime, and you know what I said? I can't drive at night.
Yeah, you have to drive in the morning, the next day probably.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where around the world have you perfumed?
Performed.
I performed over at Mexico, mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, and as far as China.
China.
Yes.
So I have heard that people from China eat, like, bugs. Is it true? Like, have you seen them eat bugs? Or, like, do they do it in their house? Like,
well, I saw some people fishing at the Huangpu River. They were taking out these smaller little snail-like. But you got to understand, different places and different foods, cultures eat different foods. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of places where they eat termites. It's a termite.
What's a termite?
A termite is like a an ant, a big ant that eats wood, that loves to eat wood. And so it's different. I mean, frog legs. People here in the United States in the South eat alligator.
Clams.
Clams? Do they eat the inside of your body to where you shred up it to pieces, like pieces of paper from a paper shredder?
No, you cook them up and eat them.
Clams are delicious.
Oysters, yeah, there's
shrimp, crab.
Yes, shrimp, yep. shrimp.
Okay, well, they're all in the ocean, so it depends. And yes, in China, they eat a lot of frogs. They eat a lot of stuff. But they eat a lot of stuff that we eat also.
Rice.
Yes, vegetables.
Always rice.
Yeah, rice is, well, you
every
know,
culture,
every
huh?
culture eats rice. That's right. That's one of the big nutritious things to eat.
Mm-hmm. When you travel around, isn't it like, do they give you free because you play instrument, or you have to pay for the whole entire group?
Well, that's a good question, but here's what happens. In a lot of places like China, everything was paid for. Even my laundry. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My taxi. The subway.
A house?
The hotel. And we got paid for performing.
What?
And our plane ticket.
Whoa.
So, but if we wanted to buy souvenirs, that was on us. We have to. That's obviously not covered by that. But when they don't, to answer now the second part of that question, when they do not pay for foods and stuff like that, I make sure that I put it in the price. Mm. So I charge them a little bit more.
Mm. So in China, I wanted to kind of ask a question and kind of say something at the same time. So in China, do they have those like type of outfits like from the China design? And also, do they get music and like is the ground like if we have grass and a road, is all the ground there like sand? Because I had this like big dream yesterday where I was dreaming about China and it was just this like little town. It was like, so this is the whole entire area. This is the town. And there's like house.
Let me answer that part of the question. China is one of the most populated countries in the world. It's huge, and they've got roads just like here. And they got houses just like this, buildings, restaurants, amusement parks, just like we have here.
I was thinking that China was like a small island.
Well, that's like saying most people, you think Africa, everybody thinks of the Serengeti and the jungle, right?
Yeah.
And Africa, no. Africa's got grocery stores. It's got schools. It's got roads. It has. It depends. Yeah, it depends where you go. It depends where you go, right?
Some people in Africa are a little less fortunate than other people.
Right, but the major cities always think that. Like when you go to New York City, you have the Empire State Building, you got the United Nations, you got all these huge buildings, because that's the major city, right? I mean, do we have buildings up here like the Empire State Building in Schenectady?
No.
No. Do we have tall houses like in the city?
No.
Right. But just think, everybody's different, and everybody doesn't have to be the same to just live in the same thing. Like, there were rules about like people with different skin that they couldn't be near each other. So.
Right. And now to answer your other part of your question about the dress, they wear jeans. They wear jeans just like here. They wear sneakers. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer to your second part of your
question. I thought they were like wearing like these outfits.
I think those are kind of the traditional outfits people probably wore a long time ago, and people still wear them when they want to celebrate some of those old traditions.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody, it depends on culture. Once that, especially the young culture, you know, everybody wants an iPhone and earbuds and so that's totally there. And color their hair a different color that they were born with. There you go. I didn't even notice that. You see?
I'm scared.
What is your favorite song to play?
Oh, my God. I've written 196 songs. But there is one I love to play. It's no chalanera, it's a cha-cha, and people just get up and they smile and everybody hits the dance floor. It's one of those tunes that I wrote a long time ago, but it's still relevant today.
I got me, so... Do you have to wear same shirt at a concert?
We were looking at some of your concert photos, and like everybody would be in purple one time, or everybody would be in black.
White.
Or orange, or
blue. Like a light blue one time.
Uh-huh.
Dark blue like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like, versus other bands that don't do that, I like my band to look good. I like them well-groomed.
Oh.
I like them well-shaven. Mm. I like them looking presentable because, to me, when people pay, it's like you're paying for a service. People come to see us, they're paying for a service. Whether it's a free concert or not. But free means free for you, but I'm still getting paid. So somebody's paying me. And out of respect, right, I like my musicians to look good because we put our best face forward. I think it complements. It's like going to a restaurant and you order something and they just give it to you in a bag all sloppy and they just throw it at you. Would you like it?
No.
Right. So sometimes...
You wouldn't want to pay for that.
Right. And the presentation is huge because sometimes it goes the opposite direction. Sometimes you go, oh my God, look how beautiful that looks. And then when you try, you go, I don't like it. So you see, if you have good music, I like it. Back it up with good presentation. Good question. Yes?
You're saying that if we get a ticket, uh-huh. We don't get in for free with the ticket? What's the point?
No. What I'm saying is that sometimes you'll see me play in a park, like Scotia or Schenectady Park, it'll be free. Like, everybody can go, your friends, your family, everybody. It's free for you guys, but we are getting paid. There is a sponsor. Somebody's taking... In other words, somebody's actually paying. So out of respect for them and out of respect for our audience, I like that my band looks great.
So you're saying that at the festival, there was this long... Like there were, like, bars around the like, festival, like, a gate, like, jail cell
okay,
bars.
Like
but
a
like
fence?
Kinda, yeah, like a, yeah, like a tall fence. And you're saying that if we got a, like if we had the money to get in or, like, we had a ticket to get in, we have to give them the ticket or else we would just...
Well, that's a separate event. If they do a ticket event, that's separate. But most festivals in this area that we perform are free, the festivals.
Ooh.
How many concerts have you done? 50?
100.
More than that.
1,000.
More than that.
5 million.
Not that much, but in almost 40 years, if you figure, think about it this way, let's go on the low scale. If we did 30 shows a year,
whoa.
30 times 12 is 360. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
So that's 12 years.
He's got to come to school with us.
So you figure we're going 40 years.
Yeah, so watch it. Ready? If you round off to 30, because it's not exactly 30, right? So we're doing an estimate. Times 40 years.
It's
any thoughts on what the answer is going to be?
What's
300?
What's 4? No, what's 4 times? What's 4 times 3?
Oh, oh my God! You're thinking of that?
120.
120. Anybody else?
No, he said 4 times 3.
Is 12. That's where he's getting the 12 and 120 from.
Right.
Here it comes.
Here comes.
Oh,
1,200.
That many concerts?
And that's on the low side. So it's over 2,000.
What? Oh,
that's awesome.
Mr. Rakes.
I know.
Okay. What age were you when you started playing? What age when you started to play?
What age?
Yeah.
When I started to play, I was 6th grade or 7.
6th grade or 7?
Did you have an instrument at that age?
I had
famous at that age.
My mom would buy me for Christmas. You know, as a kid, for Christmas and for my birthday, I didn't want toys. Yeah. I wanted records and an instrument. Oh. So she bought me a guitar, she would buy me records.
Oh, mm, cool.
Yes.
When I first got my instrument, I'm like, wait a minute, what is this thingy? And then as soon as I, like there were, like, strings on it, and I went to go, like, dingle, like, just to, like, do this on it, I'm like, what? And then I took the bow, and I started playing, and I'm like, da-da-da-da-da.
What? When you first started your instrument, when I first played an instrument, and you think it will sound so beautiful, but when you play, you're like, no. That's not the sound that I heard.
You're right. And when I started playing my guitar, I'm like, oh, my God, this is really hard. And my fingers were hurting.
Yeah, it hurt.
And it hurt. And it was like, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is awful. What am I going to do? And little by little, you got to stick with it.
You got flexible.
You're flexible. You grow calluses on your fingers.
Yeah.
And your endurance, your muscles, you get muscles. Similar to as a little kid learning how to write.
Yeah.
You got to build that endurance to be able to write.
So, Alex, the girls are talking about their instruments. I just had a flyer here.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, is this a flyer for your concert?
Let me see.
Playathon 2020?
Yes, we are going to
Saturday,
be at the
Saturday, February
mall.
1st at Crossgates Mall.
Yes, they do the Empire State Youth Orchestra, does their big show there.
This is one of the biggest public performances of the year.
Yes, we will be going against another, like...
And your chime group is going to be performing at 1:25 p.m.?
Yeah, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock
and then,
night.
And then everybody's going to stop playing, and me and Amna are going to go in the front, and then me and Amna are going to play solo, me and her, for the duet.
At this concert?
Yes.
There's hundreds of people that go to that. Did
yeah.
You know that?
But me and her are brave, because we're also going to do the
kind of.
But you know, when you play, you can also, you can see the balcony upstairs from the second floor. You're in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, because I've been there before to watch that.
I've seen.
And there's people that are shopping that stop, and they look over. So while you're looking at somebody here and here, there's people on top of you, and they throw the Empire State Youth Orchestra. Sometimes they raise money.
Yeah, they're going to do
and
that.
And the people throw money from the upstairs, and you see the dollars come down. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it's such a good program and a great cause, and people just throw money. They throw money from the upstairs, and it comes down, and they got somebody picking it up, and so it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to try to make sure I'm there. Saturday, February 1st.
It's a fantastic program.
Crossgates Mall, and our chime performers are at 1:25. Wow. It says more details coming soon. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. The first time you played an instrument for a concert, were you nervous?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, that Montreal one, I had one of the guys in the band. I was in my dressing room, and one of the musicians comes and says, "Alex, you have to see this." I said, "I have to see what?" He said, "You got to see the crowd." I go, "It's a crowd." He goes, "No, you got to come and see this." And we were up, our stage was about this high off the ground, so because it's so big, so we could see over the heads of everybody, and it was like almost like a whole football field all the way to the back. And it was
like what we went to. Kind of.
We were at a basketball game today at SUNY Albany.
Okay.
Yeah, so even more. That was a few hundred people.
And I think I always get a little bit nervous. You know why? As a band leader, I'm like, are the guys going to come in on time? You know, you count a song in one, two, one. The guys have to know their parts. Just like when you come to school and the teacher says, you know,
Get yourself ready.
And how about, okay, we read this book. And so I'm going to ask you a question. What did so-and-so do in this book? Who's the main character? You know, you have to be on point. You have to be on point. And as a musician, and I got 11 other people, I'm making sure that, are they going to come in on time? Are they going to remember the song? Are they going to remember these subtleties, these breaks, these nuances, the soloing? Correct. So I know I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Mr. Rakers knows he's paying attention.
To his job.
That's correct. But now, as students, are you doing your job, which is paying attention and being ready, up to the task?
Mm-hmm.
So this is all goals. Yes.
So I have like a little bit of a connection. So when me and Amna were at our first concert in Chime, we went to not our first one, but we went to this like big place, and it was kind of, it was a music school.
Our first concert was in,
I didn't say our first concert.
Oh.
But, like, it was in this whole entire music school. Everybody had their instruments. They were playing in different rooms. We waited for a few hours until we finally got released to go to the concert. And then when we did the concert, there were, like, bleacher. It was, like, this big square room. And there was,
lights,
like, so many
people are flapping.
Yeah, and people were, like, watching. They were, like...
And then
we're, like...
Well, how'd you guys feel when you hear the applause?
Our first big concert was kind of nervous. I was so nervous because we had some of them were like at that door and we were at that door. I'm like nervous and I'm like peeking.
And then there were like already like 1,000 seats filled in, but then more people kept on coming in. As soon as I saw like the last person come in, there started to be more people coming in. More. It was like 1,000,000 people. I'm like, oh my god, I'm not ready for this. I was like.
What's your favorite instrument to play?
Oh, definitely the bass. I love the bass. And you're a fellow bassman, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I play bass in orchestra.
You play upright?
Yeah, I play upright and I'm still...
Nice!
Like, this is my first year in orchestra and before winter break, there was a big concert, and they didn't really like the orchestra teacher before she retired and a new one came.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really have a lot of time to teach me how to play with my bow.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still like working and trying to get fingering down. And when the new one comes and when the new teacher decides that I'm ready for doing it with my bow.
So are you 11?
I'm 10, going to be 11 at the end of the year.
Okay, and you know what? That's a good start. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Where do you practice?
I practice at my house. I have a recording studio and a performance studio at my house.
You must live in a mansion.
No, I do not.
No, you have like... This.
Thousands of people came to your bar.
Well, you saw inside of Alex's house. Remember the TV show that we watched?
I know,
and they were
like,
cooking in the kitchen.
I know, but there could have been like more rooms. And
there are a lot more rooms, but no, I live a couple of houses away from Mr. Rakes.
I want to do it one time.
We're neighbors.
Oh, that's
two floors.
Awesome.
We are neighbors.
What?
That's how we know each other.
You never told us.
I mean, that and that we both work in the schools here. You might see Alex walking around the school one day. He works here in the school, and he's in the band.
I want to do one check. Two floors.
What's that?
Two floors.
You're asking if he has two floors in his house?
My house?
No, like a house check, like how many stuff he has. Two floors.
So do you have two floors?
Three.
Ooh. A dog.
No.
A house check. I've never heard this before.
House check. That's what I'm listening to. Four bathrooms.
Well,
that's how much rooms?
Six.
That's awesome. Four bathrooms.
How many people do you have in your family?
How many people in, living in the house, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, not in my family. My family is huge.
You have a brother?
I would need like five buildings this size to house my family. In my house, living in the house is three of us.
Whoa.
And
do you have
four
a
bathrooms, six rooms.
Well, my mother downstairs in her own apartment.
Oh.
So four.
A brother.
My brothers and sisters are all grown in another house.
Well,
I
just want to say one more thing. How big of a bed do you have for like so many bathrooms? You have so many bathrooms. You should have like a big bed.
A big yes, it is a California king size. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
I have a queen size.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. A second.
Yeah. We're going to take a pause to our interview.
when you're
as busy and as important as Alex, sometimes you get that important phone call.
Me and I are going to shake our hands. So, guys, so today we went to our field trip to a basketball player.
Yeah, a basketball game at SUNY Albany.
And we win, and we were so excited because some of them were up and we were down, and we were like, it was so crazy.
And then there was a timer, like,
and they were games, and they were shooting shirts, and those dogs are coming, and people were trying their best.
Yeah, they really were.
Ready to show them?
You're okay. No worries. All right, come on back to your seats.
Okay.
Haley.
Oh. Where do you...
Oh, we got that one. Ready?
You,
are we recording it?
Did you ever make mistakes, Clay?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, every once in a while you can play a wrong note. But the crowd really doesn't know. The crowd, it goes by so fast. Live music goes by fast. And most people are more focused on the rhythm to make sure that they can dance properly than the notes. Yes.
Why do you make mistakes?
Why do I make mistakes?
Yeah.
Because I'm human.
Hold on.
I'm human. I'm not a machine. Yes.
So, when you have made a mistake on your instrument, if there was like a front row and like you made a mistake on your instrument, would the front row hear it, or like the band would just keep playing?
Well, you got to keep playing, because if you stop, then everybody knows it was a mistake. But it goes by so fast that.
Yeah.
Now the idea is not to make the same mistake every time you play the same song.
Yeah.
In
try
the same
that.
Spot. Yeah, you gotta fix that.
Well, like if the band if you made a mistake and the band kept on.
The band has to keep going. You ever heard? And the band kept playing.
And you were just like.
That's right. No, when you play a wrong note on your viola or the violin, you smile and you keep going.
You gotta be like
nothing's wrong. Now if you make a face like. Then everybody's going to go, oh, something's wrong. Look. Check out what's like eating lemons. You see that face you just made?
I always make that face.
What type of rice do you like?
I like yellow rice.
Yes, I knew
it. You're a baseballer. Yes, you like yellow rice.
Yellow rice with pinto beans.
Very good. Wow.
My family, both sides of the family, mom and dad, were Puerto Rican.
Oh. Well, wow. Nice. So you grew up eating good Puerto Rican rice.
Uh-huh.
Yellow rice, okay.
See, we eat Puerto Rican rice.
Why do you like yellow rice? It's tasty. It's got all these condiments in it, right? It's so good.
It's not like when you go to like the Chinese restaurant and they give you rice and it tastes like okay but not like flavorful. Yellow rice, it has so much flavor.
That's like, correct. That's sofrito.
People
yes.
are different.
I love it.
That's correct.
You eat Spanish food, right?
Yes. I cook it.
Yeah, my mom does it too. She likes pasteles.
I make good pasteles.
Do you like pernil with chicken? No.
Do I like what?
Pernil. Yeah.
Oh.
I spelled it wrong.
Okay. Well, if you have pernil, normally you won't have chicken, right?
Yeah, I forgot.
Right? Because pernil is pork, yeah. Pork shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's either or. So, but I know what you're talking about. You can make pasteles with pernil, right? The inside?
Yeah.
Or you can make, is that what you're trying to get to?
Yeah.
Or pasteles with chicken?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pasteles with chicken.
Ah, do you like, let's try pasteles? Let's fix this a little bit.
Yeah, I was
okay,
thinking of
okay. I know, I gotcha. That's good. You know what? I love pasteles anyway, but I have my favorite pernil.
Yeah, because, there's so many Spanish foods that I eat, but, I get so mixed up with them that I'm just, I don't know which one
about. Do you know that Mr. Reyes has eaten pernil at my house?
Oh,
yellow
you
rice
went to his house.
With yellow
remember
rice?
That big party he was talking about where he cooked for how many?
110
people. I was one of those 110 people. A
so
few
you
times.
Were
yeah.
And did you like the food?
I do. I tried one of everything.
Yeah.
Because some of the food the first time I went, I had never had before. Mm-hmm. So when you see something new you've never had, you got to try it.
Sometimes you don't feel like it.
I feel like sometimes people are scared because they're like, well, what if I don't like it? Well, what if you don't like it? You just take a little bit and try it. And then you're better off to just try because most likely you're going to like it. Then you could have more if you really like it.
So sometimes you have something that you don't like and it mixed with the other kind of and you like it.
Right. Really? That was a good question. Yes.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's good.
So, like, I've ate Spanish food a lot before, but, like, my mom is, like, mostly doing batallas, and I don't know why. She's, like, always cooking different types of Spanish food, but now she's, like, stuck with the middle of the batallas, and, like, she's not even going to a different Spanish food. She doesn't go to Benin, she doesn't go to any of the... She's, like...
She really likes the pastelas. That's a lot of work. Making pastelas is a lot of work.
Yeah, it's just that she puts a lot of that orange stuff, that, like...
Anchovy.
Yeah, she always puts
that's
a lot
annatto
of that.
That's annatto in English. It's Italian, so it's but in English it's the same thing.
Oh my
it's
God.
Annatto.
One of my teachers in Chime are Italian.
Mm-hmm. It's annatto seeds. They look like little red rocks, and you pour hot oil in it, and you know they used to use it also for face painting.
Ooh. What does your mom like your cooking?
Well, she loves my cooking, and you know why?
Why?
Because she's the one that taught me how to cook.
I got time.
So it gives her a break.
My mom taught me how to cook and also, like, do eggs and, like, breakfast. So, like, there was a time where I was 5 because she taught me when I was 4. So when I was 5, I made breakfast for us, and I made eggs, and my mom was like, oh my God, these are good. And I put that, like, the pepper on it, and I put too much. It was, like, the whole entire egg.
There you go.
When I first start to cook something a little, every time everybody, when it starts, you get burned. Yeah, like, on the spot, you get, like, a little bit burned, you're like, ow!
Because it splashes at you, and you're like, oh my God, they hit the spot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yes.
He's Puerto Rican.
Not all Puerto Rican people speak Spanish. I know a Puerto Rican person, and they don't speak Spanish at all.
Right.
A lot of them didn't get taught Spanish when they were born.
Or some of them moved to a place that they speak that language.
Correct.
Especially New Yorkers.
Yes, New Yorkers.
That's right.
Puerto Rican.
Very good. And so they start learning more English because the parents started losing their Spanish, and then eventually, if they don't learn it in school, they'll lose it.
And then when they get their kids aren't going to learn it because they forgot how to learn it.
Yeah, unless they learn it in school. Yeah. Correct.
I remember the first time I cooked rice and chicken with my mom.
Arroz con pollo.
I remember the first time I cooked it, I asked so many questions. I felt like I was like annoying her.
Yeah.
And she was like, is this child going to stop asking questions? Or is this going to go on for the entire
time? You know what the number one thing you can do if you want to learn is?
What? Is it recording?
Be curious.
That's right. Always ask a question.
And I remember when I was like 5 years old, I didn't like arroz con pollo because I thought the chicken didn't really taste good to me, but I remember when my mom started teaching me how to cook, and I actually tried it again. I was like, "What was I thinking when I was five?"
That happens. But always remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question, because you know what the dumbest question is?
What?
The one you don't ask.
Oof.
Because you'll never learn. So then you really have to be dumb because you won't learn.
Sometimes I'm really annoying to my mom, to where she's like, what's your last question? And I'm like this. And then I ask another question.
Right.
And she's like,
girl, are you serious?
You wore out her patience.
I was just asking questions.
You would never do that.
No. These kids in this club would never talk a lot.
Right.
No. I always talk a lot, even during class.
That's why you're here.
Thank you for watching, and I hope you enjoy our new guest and learn some stuff. And see you next time. Bye.
Adios.